we're good on the system.
It's recording.
Call the April 22nd Plan Commission meeting in order. Mr. Eddy, please call the roll. Mr. Planning Manager.
Mayor Olson?
I'm here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Burkhart?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Engineer Morrow?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Commissioner Leone?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise. Join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There is a commissioner on the phone, just for the applicant's information. There is a commissioner on the phone. Our tradition is to count his vote as affirmative, because it takes a while for him to answer the votes, and by that time we're done. So we will assume that his vote is in the affirmative unless we hear him say nay at some point thereafter. So I just want to let you all know that. Okay, with that, first order of business, approval of the regular meeting minutes of April 8th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Dandrea and Hogan. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C1 is a public hearing on a special use application. Mr. City Planning Manager.
Notice is hereby given that the Planning Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 22, 2021 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding an application by Michael A. LaFuentes, owner of Illy Tints, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 7536. Automotive glass replacement shops to allow for the operation of an automotive window tinting service business use with hours of operation from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in an existing building located at 8581 South 27th Street. Property zoned B4 South 27th Street Mixed Use Commercial District. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements and standards of sections 15-3.0701, General Standards for Special Uses, 15-3.0703, Detailed Standards for Special Uses in Non-Residential Districts, and 15-9.0103, Applications for Special Use Permit of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. Copy of the proposed special use resolution in draft form is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, during normal business hours. Public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input.
Appears we have a properly noticed public hearing. Mr. Martinez, please give us the highlights of what Mr. City Planning Manager. You guys do this to me. It's just a challenge.
Yeah. Well, actually, the planner who did the work on it isn't here, so I'll do it for her. The application is to operate in the building located on the property identified on the screen. This property is actually co-owned by the same applicant. Well, not the applicant, but the owner of the property for this property is also the one in the property immediately south. They are essentially proposing to operate a new auto tinting, window tinting business in the property located on the site. This is the front of the building as currently shown. This is actually an application. This is a picture taken from the previous application. This application or this property was previously in for a special use application approval in 2014. That was for a cleaning business. This is a replacement for that use. The applicant is proposing to operate essentially Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. now, with two full-time employees on site. Maximum 9 parking spaces are required under the ordinance and are provided either on the site or adjacent, which is shown on this plan. I've shown a yellow line to designate the property line. Technically, several of the parking spaces are provided on the adjacent site. However, it's owned by the same person, so it's between the uses on the two sites, there's enough parking to comply with minimum standards. And so they are proceeding with this application. There are no other improvements that are being made to the site. They're just replacing one use with a different use and are here to get approval. Thank you.
Okay, with that, I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Is there anyone wishing to speak? Seeing no one rise, I'll close the public hearing on this matter. And I'll start off with the previous special use application of the spot free cleaning. Mm-hmm. There was an issue about the parking lot being in the easement for the highway. There was some accommodation, and I don't recall what that was. I thought it was removal of this asphalt, but I don't recall. Alderman Dandrea, push your button.
I do recall that, and I do recall that in case that section of road ever had to be expanded, I believe there was some terminology regarding that, that those spots may be removed. But that's all I can remember of that. That's if that scenario ever happened. But the likelihood of that road ever expanding anymore is fairly unlikely. So we never made a major issue about it.
Well, I think going forward, we ought to have the staff check and make sure if that was a previous sure. condition, it ought to be.
I did actually check the previous staff report, and that was part of the recommendation, but it was not included in the approval resolution as recorded.
Okay. I just remember it. Mr. City Engineer.
So I did not occur to me, but that's actually an awesome idea. If and when DOT ever needs that right away, I'd like to have it stipulated that the right away shall be taken without objection. Those parking spots being lost.
So for the applicant, the asphalt being there is illegal.
DOT actually owns.
That's what I'm saying. The DOT owns it, and the previous owner asphalted incorrectly. So the city engineer just wants to note in the resolution that should the road expand, that the owner at the time would not object to that.
To clarify, I'm not asking that it be removed today.
Okay. Anybody else?
You should have the applicant sign an acceptance underneath the signatures on the resolution then, if you want consent to that, as opposed to just assuming it or stating it in there.
Okay. Commissioner Hogan, push the button.
Or the property owner, if it's not the applicant. And the applicant.
Okay. Was it stated that there has to be 9 parking spots?
Mr. Eddy?
Currently, the requirement under the current ordinance is a minimum of 9,
so
is my understanding.
If DOT takes it, they take some spots, then what happens?
Well, then they'd have to find a different place, different part of the site to locate the parking. I think there would be space available on the site to accommodate additional parking.
There is?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. All I want to know.
Anything else?
Well,
Alderman Dandrea.
Let's just talk about this. Mr. Eddy, there's 7 parking spots on the side where the yellow line is, mm-hmm. and then there's 3 or 4 in the back of the building. So they're already at 11, despite the ones that are classified in the front.
That's correct, yes.
So even if those ones were ever removed in the front, it's not going to affect?
It shouldn't, no.
Okay. So it's a moot point. So.
And just to talk about the future, that's one of the issues that I've always had with the UDO is our parking requirements, and we'll take a look at that as the new UDO comes about. So. Mr. Morrow,
motion. So then I'd like to make the motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for an automotive window tinting service business used upon property located at 8581 South 27th Street.
I'll second with the With the amendment?
With the amendment regarding those.
Let me offer condition four, and you guys can agree or not.
Okay.
Condition four would read, the applicant agrees that they will not contest any taking of easement by the Department of Transportation, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, should they be approached for it.
No, actually, DOT wouldn't take an easement. DOT would just remove the parking spaces, and they would understand that we're okay with that.
So what do you want to do for four?
Condition would be prepared by staff.
Condition four would be prepared by staff relative to that particular issue.
I'm fine with that change.
I'll second it that way.
All right. Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Welcome to the city some more, and go forth in tent. All right, what did I do with the agenda? I lost my agenda. Next item of business is a business matter. Item D1 is Forest Park Middle School land combination for the school district. Mr. Martinez.
Good evening. So this is an application by Franklin Public Schools to combine the three properties. You can see one is actually the middle school, the Forest Park Middle School.
Excuse me one second, Regulo. I did not announce the vote on it, so I will do that on the previous. On the previous matter, the vote was 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Mr. Martinez. Mm-hmm.
Continue. Land combination to combine these three properties. One is the Forest Park Middle School, and the other two are the former Luxembourg Gardens. So these three properties will be combined. The resulting area will be about 54 acres. That is more than the minimum requirement of this district, that is less than half an acre. I just want to make the correction that in the staff report should be 54 acres instead of 57 acres.
The first paragraph.
Correct, yeah. These, the two small properties that are the former Luxembourg Gardens were previously zoned R6 residential, but in 2019 they were rezoned to institutional. So now all the three properties are zoned institutional. The future use for these, according to the applicant, will be for recreational facilities, but there's no site plan at this time. This is just to combine the three properties. I just want to note that at the time of site plan when this will be developed, the applicant or the owner will need to prepare a natural resource protection plan, because natural resource features may be present at this property. As you can see in the property to the right, the middle school has a conservation easement. So at the time when this gets developed, we'll need a conservation easement and an RPP. Staff are recommending approval with the standards conditions.
Questions for the commission? Commissioner Hogan.
I just have a question for city attorney. I have my son and daughter-in-law are teachers at the middle school. Do I have to abstain, or am I okay?
Are you supporting your son and daughter?
Of course I support them.
Not financially.
Financially for the statute.
Well, they're supporting me. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Unless you have a bias in relation there to, technically, no.
Just want to be clear. Thank you.
Being ethical is a good thing. Alderman Dandridge.
Then, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make the motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a land combination for the tax key numbers 838-9978-000, 839-9990-000, and 839-991-004, (8225-8255) and 8429 and 8459 West Forest Hill Avenue.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Commissioner Haley has not said so. So six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Move on to item D2, Franklin Center, Franklin Village Shopping Center signage. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, this is an amendment to the master sign program for this shopping center that was approved in 2019. So basically the amendment includes three changes. The first one will be to remove from the program this anchor tenant sign. This sign was approved as part of the master sign program, but it was never installed. So it's going to be removed from the program. The second change will be to remove this existing pole sign with the electronic message and the bollards. So this sign will be removed as part of this amendment. And that this will increase the compliance of this program with the municipal code because this sign is actually in the setback. And the third change will be to increase the sign area of the existing multi-tenant sign. The alterations will be limited to the sign cabinets. The sign cabinets, they're adding these electronic meshes, message center. But the location of the sign, the supports, and the height will remain. I just want to know that this sign is non-conforming with respect to the location. It's also in the setback. But an exception to that was approved as part of the original master sign program in 2019. So in summary, this amendment will increase the compliance of this master sign program because it's removing two signs that are located within the setback. And also the current master sign program has a special exception that allow for three signs. And now, with this amendment, we only have one sign that will comply with the municipal code. So to sum up, the staff is recommending approval.
It's not really pertinent to what we're doing tonight, but doesn't our UDO require no pylon signs? Is this considered a pylon sign? Given that and that? This is just informational. You guys don't worry about it. We're just talking.
Correct, yeah. There is a minimum base requirement. But this sign, it's not conforming to that minimum base requirement. But in the current master sign program was approved like this. So.
And we don't go back on our word. Alderman D'Andrea.
I just have a question. Is that going to be a stagnant marquee, you know, where you've got the date and time and weather, or is that going to be a scrolling message? And then if it is scrolling, or if they're going to do some advertising on there, is it going to have a time? Does our code discuss that and limit the frequency of change?
It could change, yeah. It's an electronic message center. The applicant did not provide information about the time.
But does our code talk about that?
No, I do not recall that. Yeah.
I know other communities have it in regards to the change of the message on there with the possibility of causing accidents and stuff like that, especially in an intersection like this.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things I'm working on, and our sign ordinance, sign code currently does not regulate message signs. Now, in this case, what they're primarily is going to be changing is the date will change once a day, and then the time of the temperature is just going to fluctuate, but it's not going to be like that rapid, so it's going to be relatively ineffectual. All the other signs, I think, on this thing are not electric, so they're going to be basically flat panel signs. So that's the only thing that's going to actually be moving, and it's not going to change all that much.
Oh, it's up to the council. It's up to the city engineer has a comment, maybe?
City engineer.
Given the fact this isn't right on the corner, I guess I'm not as concerned about the message scrolling. If this were right on the corner where people are trying to navigate the intersection and navigate through that would probably be more of a concern. Okay. I personally believe that this is probably back far enough that that's not as much of an issue here, but yeah, it is a busy intersection that has some safety issues, but again, you're far enough away from the intersection, I think you're fine.
Okay.
It's also above where you're looking. Commissioner Leon.
Just a comment to the city engineer, really. While yes, it is set back from the intersection, there are two turn-in, turn-outs located right by it. One for that strip mall, the Franklin Village, and then maybe 200 feet further down, a turn-in for Pick and Save. And that's a turn I make pretty frequently, turning right to go southbound. And it certainly is worth considering the question about the frequency of the change, because it could be a distraction. Because also when you turn right there, for a very short span further down, there are three lanes, because there's basically a turn lane onto, I don't know the road name, but then it narrows to two quickly. So if somebody is distracted by a changing sign, I could see an increased likelihood of accidents, even though it's probably 400 feet from the intersection itself, maybe more. Just a comment.
I think that's valid. However, I'll try to say it more clearly. If the message board was closer to the ground level, where it's in the field right. of vision for your eyes, I'd be concerned about it too, but it's up so high that it may be a distraction, like a bird flying by, but it wouldn't be.
Sure.
That's my non-professional opinion. Anybody else? Commissioner Haley?
No.
Thanks. I just had to see if your mute button worked.
Well, then.
I'm here and it worked. It worked.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
Then, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adopt a resolution approving an amendment to the master sign program for Franklin Village Shopping Center to allow for signage changes.
Is there a second?
Second.
We'll give that to Commissioner Burkhart. Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
That would have been him.
It's Patrick? Yeah.
Burkhart can have it if he wants it.
I didn't even open my mouth.
I'm just trying to spread the love, folks. Okay. Thanks. So the Kids Connection?
Yes.
And you guys are Ballpark Common Signs.
Fine.
Both of them are going to take a bit of time, so let's stay with the order. Next item is Unified Development Ordinance Sign Program for Ballpark Commons Midwest the Mosh facility. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, we have this.
Oh, sorry. Before we start, Chris Bidet from Bolt is on Zoom, but he hasn't been allowed into the meeting. He was wondering if he could be allowed in.
I just
Chris,
admitted.
I don't know.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we should let Chris in.
I heard that.
Just checking. Okay, Mr. Martinez.
Yes, the signing has been presented to this Plan Commission in the previous meeting. So the Plan Commission recommended to table this item so for the applicant has time to make changes and increase compliance.
So what did you change?
So the three, the changes are, they remove the west graphic panels, the four west graphic panels. You can see that that's going to be removed with this submittal. And they also decrease the number of the sub-openings graphics from 11 to 6. With the overall numbers, the total amount of square footage has been decreased from 12,500 to 10,600 approximately. The staff is still recommending denial, even though the applicant has addressed the land use compatibility by removing the west graphic panels that are facing a residential district to the west, because the staff still have three or out of four previous concerns. One is the traffic safety. So approximately 1,800 square feet of sign will be facing Rossum. That's more than the double of the signage that is allowed for the entire building. The second concern is the content neutrality. So the graphic panels here, would you treat that as regular wall signs? Because in this proposal, it doesn't have any advertising, but we cannot discriminate or classify between not advertising and advertising signs. So in the future, if they want to have a logo, that will be allowed. And the third concern is the equal protection. So this amendment is increasing by about 10 times the amount of signage that is permitted, so that other properties do not enjoy that increase. So alternative, if Plan Commission decides to recommend approval, staff is suggesting to reduce the quantity of the graphic panels. For example, there are 9 graphic panels in total. Each of the graphic panels is about 870 square feet. In total, that would be about 7,800 square feet. That is about 70% of the total of the square footage. So by reducing the graphic panels, it will increase the compliance with the municipal code. And the other suggestion is to reduce the size or reduce the quantity of the north and south ID wall signs. So for example, each of these signs is about 1,600 square feet. So that's more than the double that is normally allowed for the entire building. I'm happy to answer any question that you may have.
Mr. Martinez, let's go back to that picture. they've also reduced the size of graphics in these panels from the original application.
Correct.
And then to the graphic panel in the back, please.
To the, this one?
Yes. 304 feet by 309. My math didn't work out. 304 times 309. 93,000 square feet. That's not right. Oh, well. Whatever. Those are significant. I understand their use. Okay, I'm going to move on from that because I don't have tremendous heartburn, but I think that's a place we can go to find something. Regular, my issue is on page drawing C19, which looks like this. We talked about it briefly, and it was shown in another slide. Individual tenant signage underneath between the windows. And given, go back to that's the very top, oh, that one. Given the design of that sign, you need, or the tenants are going to demand signage like this. But I would object to this signage in the rest of the building. I understand the purpose of it, but with the quantity of signage now, this just makes it even more
congested.
Okay, that's a better word than I was going to use. So that's my concern, is that there's some assumption that you can put more signage on the front of the on the north and the east side of the building. That's a concern I have, especially since this does not allow for any more tenant signage other than one. Name and address, please. Postcodes.
It should be on. It was on.
The tenant.
Give us your name and address first for the record.
I'm sorry?
Your name and address, please.
Michael DeLuhi, 1827 West Glendale Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53209. The tenant signage was removed from the north and south elevations on the final page of the submittal. If you can go to the final page.
history. Yeah.
You say final page.
Yeah, the last page is the elevation that had the there. This was the page you were referring to that had the above the windows on any of the elevations, south, east, or north. Right. Those have been removed.
Okay. I just didn't want to go through all the approvals with this and then assumptions being made that it was approved to allow signage here. So this was more of a coverage than a negotiating tactic. But Regulo, you're sure that your numbers counted for the deletion of these?
I'll say yes.
All right, well, Regulo's looking that up. Anybody else?
A couple things I did want to address, if I may. First of all, the south elevation, where we cut down the logo IDs, if you will, from the 11 to the 6. There are 5 that were reoccurring. Because there was only 5, we had space, so if there's no objection from the board, we did put Franklin Field up on one of those panels. So that would be represented with the other 5 that were up there for Rock Ventures and the Milton and everything like that. On the north side, I know that there was talk about the ID sign and the panels, because there was conversation about it being lit or not lit. I did have additional conversations with Bolt Construction, and they are willing to potentially reduce or remove the north ID sign itself. The graphic panels they want to keep, just because that's a large expanse of building that faces going to be the Gulf and the stadium. So they do want to break up the large wall panel, but there is negotiation either reducing or changing that north ID sign.
Mr. City Engineer.
I would suggest to the rest of the Plan Commission, this is what we get when we allow them to, I would say downgrade to for cost savings. Without something like this, it would look like a big metal pole barn. And without having the architectural features that were removed previously, that's kind of, I think, a better option.
Commissioner Leon.
So I'll start by thanking the applicant for the changes made for the south-facing and west-facing. Those address the concerns that I had for the most part. As far as the north-facing, and I drove by there a couple of times over the weekend. To the mayor's point, we understand the point of what the use of it. Also, when I consider it's going to be facing a parking lot that goes to the stadium and the ski hill, and that's about all, and the locks of the golf when it goes in. I don't see that it's going to disrupt anything else. I understand there's a precedent, but given the direction it faces, I really don't have any issues with the signs that are facing that way. And I think they've got a purpose, and I think that, you know, explaining, you know, or justifying it as an exception for here and potentially not other places is justifiable, because the only people that are going to see it are parked there and probably coming there for some reason related to it. So that's my 2 cents.
Well, I'll go in the middle on this one. If I was a NOSDOC, I'd look at my expense for signage and I'd say, do I really need to spend all of that money for advertising to a parking lot?
Right.
So my suggestion is get rid of the illuminated signage and leave the panels. That would be my suggestion. Chris, Mr. Bourdais?
Yeah, when you say get rid of the illuminated signage, are you referring to the MOSH sign on the north elevation of the field house?
Absolutely correct. Because there isn't.
Go ahead.
Well, actually, I was going to say for you to go ahead, because I was rude by interrupting you.
No problem at all. I haven't spoken with the launch doctors. I know that They did purchase the naming rights for the facility, so there is interest and consensus amongst their organization to actually invest heavily in signage on the building. If at all possible, and if it helps, you know, that north sign, we talked about last time possible of reducing it. We could propose to reduce it by 50% from its original size. Does that sway your opinion?
Well, mine was more of a suggestion than an opinion, but 50% would improve a whole lot, and it would also minimize the reaction we're going to get from the neighbors to the west. But
we'd be more than happy to accept a 50% reduction.
That is a big sign. Commissioner Leon?
I guess I just asked you, I mean, other than just general opposition to the whole development, the neighbors to the west wouldn't see these signs at all. So an objection from those neighbors wouldn't hold much credibility with me anyway.
Alderman Dandridge.
I agree with the mayor. I was thinking that could be eliminated. Will I support a 50%? I mean, you've got so much signage in the front and along the side as you drive in. It becomes overkill, in my opinion. I'm already going to know what this building is. I really don't need it on the back end of it. We're allowing it in the front and the upper. We've got your landing page. You know, we talked about that section, that lower section where it says other tenant, of you dividing that to put the other tenants on that board, and you didn't make that change.
We didn't make that change because that would be up to the orthopedic doctors to allow that or not allow that. It wouldn't change the square footage. So even if there was a single tenant in there or we crammed 12 in there, it wouldn't be anything that would be additional square footage to this proposal. So we didn't make that change because if they're going to allow it or they're not going to allow it, that would be up to them. We're just here to ask for the sign package in its entirety.
But they are allowing an other tenant on there.
I do believe that is their intent of a tenant, or multiple if they want to subdivide it.
Okay. I think it would just be easier as people come in then to know that all, you know, the people that are going to occupy this space are going to be found on this information board.
Right. It's very possible that they will. As Chris had mentioned in the last meeting, right now there's only two tenants in the whole building besides Mosh. So once they get a final count and all the space is leased, then there might be some discussions as to what tenants would or would not be on there and how that would be subdivided.
Do you know how much vacant space there is?
Chris, I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah, currently it's roughly 160,000 square foot facility. We have only 15,000 square feet that's vacant.
Okay.
And with regards to the monument sign at the front of the building, we would only allow one other tenant to place their sign on there. We typically reserve the monument signs for what we consider anchor tenants. Mosh is one, and our fitness tenant is the only other tenant that will have the rights to place their name on that monument sign.
Oh, well, there's only 15,000 available square feet, so you don't need multiple locations then. Okay.
Anybody else?
Mayor, I just want to know that in response to your question, in the scope of work, the south elevation tenant signage and the north elevation tenant signage is not included in the overall calculation because that will be on a case-by-case basis in a factor of the tenant fascia. So.
Okay, so let's try this with a 50% reduction in the illuminated sign on the north face. Alderman Dandridge.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend 15-3.0 0442 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 37, the Rock Sports Complex / Ballpark Commons, to increase the maximum permitted square or permitted sign face area of approximately 750 square feet to 10,633?
50%.
Less 50%.
Of the illuminated sign on pages C-15 and 16.
As the mayor stated, to be distributed between, is your number still 29 signs?
A little bit less than that.
Because we've removed some. For the indoor sports complex at approximately 7095 South Ballpark Drive.
Second.
Okay, we're all clear? Mr. Bede, you clear? And I'll get you.
Just to clarify, pages, I believe you referenced page 15 and 16. We're only referring to the 50% reduction on the north elevation. The south elevation can remain as submitted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, agreed.
Well, that's my impression. Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to staff's concerns about what they termed equal protection, and what I would term other applicants in futuro claiming some form of precedent occurring by this, I think for the record, the facts of this particular property and its particular use are very different than other properties.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Any other questions regarding the motion?
Manager, just to clarify, so the 50% reduction is of the overall signage or just for the north elevation?
The electric sign on the north face.
Okay.
The ID sign on the north face.
And it's C-50, whatever the page numbers were. Yeah. Anybody else? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Bede. Kids Connection Child Care, item D4. Mr. Martinez, when you're
ready. It's Kids Connection item is a proposal. Site plan proposal for a child care facility. This was presented before this plan commission on October last year. The plan commission table for lack of compliance with the standards of the South 27th Street overlay. The applicant, so this is a view of the site. This is the site plan submitted for the 2020 plan commission meeting. And the applicant revised the site plan and submitted a new site plan with some changes, including, you can see, number one, they added two parking spaces to meet the local parking schedule, so they now have 47 parking spaces. They added a connection to the Rawson Avenue public sidewalk, to comply with the South 27th Street standard of pedestrian facilities. And they also added some new trees to meet the minimum number of trees required for this overlay. And these are the changes. Well, this is the change to the elevation. So this is the 2020 elevation. This is the 2021. They widened this roof dormer. The two roof dormers. These are the items that the applicant has addressed to increase compliance, but there are still some items that has not been addressed by the applicant. So I will start with the location of the drop-off area. So this was an item raised by Commissioner Haley during the previous meeting, that the drop-off area was located, that there was a drive between the drop-off area and the building, so the children will need to cross the drive to get to the building, and that will pose, that will create a safety issue. So this issue remains, but the applicant has submitted this letter you have about the procedures for pick-up at drop-off.
Parents are required to park their cars in a parking spot. Some of the places I shop at, that is a new concept.
I will continue with the waivers requested by the applicant, waivers from the South 27th Street Design Standards. Just keep in mind that according to the UDO, 5 votes are required to waive any of these requirements. And the UDO states that design improvement shall be provided to compensate for the waiver. So the first waiver will be that the site furnishing. So the UDO requires benches or trash cans or bicycle parking. So this is not providing this proposal. Staff are recommending the applicant to provide at least the bicycle parking in a ratio of 1 per 10 vehicular parking for a total by 5 bicycle parking. The other waiver is the parking island size. So parking island should be at least 250 square feet. So these two parking island do not meet that requirement. So staff is it's okay with this waiver as long as the applicant changed the tree species. So we send the comments to the applicant following recommendation of the city forester. The other waiver is the multi-story building. The UDO says that properties or buildings located in corners shall be multi-story. So actually this is the future land use plan of the corridor plan. And these properties are not really located in what the plan called a corridor gateway. Corridor gateway will be, for example, the intersection of Rosslyn and South 27. So because it's not located in a really important intersection, the staff will be okay with this waiver to have only a single story building. The other item is not really a waiver, it's most like a preference. So according to the UDO, properties on corner lots shall be mixed use. This is not mandatory, it's only a preference. Staff does not have any objection with this because, for example, the Rainbow Shiloh Care that was approved in 2018 is not mixed use and is located also in a corner. The other requirement is the corner entrance. So as we can see, this property, they don't own this street. So this will be the recommended design for buildings located in corner lots. So as they don't own this, this design will be difficult. So the staff doesn't have any objection to the waiver to the corner entrance. The final waiver is the dumpster, the location of external storage, including a dumpster. So this is the location. The UDO requires that should be placed behind the building. So the applicant requests that waiver for practical, the garbage truck to get there. So it's behind the building line, but it will still be visible from Rosson Avenue. Final recommendation, staff is recommending denial if the Plan Commission denies the waiver. The other alternative will be table to redesign the drop-off area location to address this issue, this safety issue. Final suggestion is the bicycle parking and a maintenance agreement for the landscape features.
Okay.
Thank you.
commission doesn't mind, I'll start off here. And the first thing, the bicycle thing, I don't know how many parents are going to ride their kids in on the bike, but I don't have an issue with the bicycle waiver itself. Trash waiver, you're going to hide them behind the pillar, and then you've now achieved compliance. Behind your pillars here? There should be space. I don't have a, but it looks like in the rendering that the base of that is, I don't want to get hung up on trash cans. The reason we put that in there, frankly, is to reduce trash blowing around the street. That's what we want. So we'd actually prefer them to be out and available, but what we might find is parents walking their kids in with their coffee cup, instead of just dropping it, they'll throw it away. But I'm not hung up about that. My two concerns are, Regula, can you go back to the site plan? And Commissioner Haley and I are going to have words about this. The drop-off of the children. So the cars would come in here, and the new requirement, the suggested requirement, is the parents have to park. So these are full. These will be full within 22 seconds of opening, all the front ones. So they're going to come over here. So they park here. The requirement now is that they walk their child to the door. So now we've got people walking, either crossing here and getting on the sidewalk, or if they're up here, they're walking down the middle of the road to get in. Commissioner Haley, you can't see where I'm going, what I'm doing on the screen, but I'm walking through my head on how to get the kids into the building. And the old plan just didn't address that. It's you drive in here, you double park, and the kids run in, and off you go. Was that the old plan?
It was just not explained correctly.
Give me your name and address.
Matthew Marion Anderson, Ashton, 2746 South 166th Street, Berlin, Wisconsin. I guess just to address the question of drop-off and pick-up, with the process with drop-off and pick-up with parking. They're parking, they're grabbing their child, and they're walking into the facility. Drop-off and pick-up, they're not going to be in queue, they're not going to be leaving their vehicle to walk across that way. That's just more of accommodating the code requirements. So with the use and accommodating the code requirements, it's just like we wouldn't go to a store when you park your car and you have your, if I have a two-week-old, so I'll be grabbing him. And
he's not walking very
across the street. So you go across, you go to the sidewalk, and you go in front. If we have to, you know, talk with parents about you shouldn't be going into Rossin Avenue, we have different conversations that we have to have with them. But it's a way out. We're just trying to maximize parking and have flow in and out of the building and just make sure it's safe.
The net of all of this, I don't know how you'd make it any safer. I get worried about kids breaking away and running away from mom and dad and running track, but that's for you guys to deal with. I never had them, so it's okay. Regular, how are we doing on parking? Have they met the requirements?
Sorry?
Parking?
Yes.
Parking, now they meet the minimum parking.
So they made the minimums?
Yeah.
Yeah, they added two spaces to meet the minimum requirement.
Because this is a problem for me. Is it a no? If I'm forced to vote, it's not a no, but it's a problem. My suggestion would be put it on an angle here and you'd lose two parking spaces.
That's what we were looking at too. The use, if it was a restaurant, if there would be a lot more trash, we were just looking with staff, and go out in the winter, open up the gates for waste management for a drop off and pick up. So just trying to make it as easy as possible for that, so it doesn't affect staff and make sure they can get in and out.
Yeah, our issue is aesthetics.
I know.
As it is for you guys too. You know, having this direct shot, you know, my suggestion would again be put it on an angle here and lose these spots. But I don't. I'm amazingly ambivalent. Commissioner Leo?
So I'm not ambivalent about it. The questions that I had, and I'll go back to when I first joined the Planning Commission the first time around, and is a particular space good for a use? This area on Rawson Avenue, I do not see as a good use for a daycare. Regulo, can you go back? Let's see, where it shows Rawson Avenue. Right there. That's perfect. Thank you. So the speed limit there is 40, but cars are routinely going a lot faster than that. You also have a slight incline on the road to the east, so some limited visibility, also impacted by sunrise, sunset, which can be prime drop-off and pickup times. Cars going into and out of there, you also have turnarounds there, despite the median, so cars, depending on which direction they're coming from, trying to get in there, I see as a problem for traffic. I don't think that this is a good spot to have a daycare. I do have kids. They're out of daycare now. They're in grade school. But this isn't the kind of place, the kind of location, let me clarify that, that I would be comfortable dropping off, driving into and out of your parking lot. Especially when I consider things like when you have an event at the end of the day, like, you know, the kids are doing some sort of presentation, and you have that many more cars coming in and out because you've got grandma and grandpa and whomever else coming in there. So you got a long way to convince me that this is a good location for that. But to maintain an open mind, you know, if you can allay some of my concerns with vehicles traveling on Rawson Avenue, turning into or coming out of your parking lot.
Mr. City Engineer.
So I'm trying to remember last time we had a conversation. We talked about some, you know, there's a lot of condos up here, you know, grandma and grandpa walking the kids over, that kind of thing. I'm still disappointed we're not able to use that spot there that you say that you don't own. Seems like we could still make that work somehow because nobody else can build there. It seemed like that was would be a nice entrance right there.
Along with just to let you know, we did reach out to the condo association. We had a virtual conference and meeting and told about the project and talked about that.
Okay.
As an option, they did not like that option.
Yeah.
We talked about the project, the height of the building, and asked their opinion and thoughts. And they were supportive of the aesthetic and the use. So we're just.
But they didn't like it.
Trying to be good neighbors and trying to figure out if they like it.
But they didn't like the idea of making a few bucks by selling a useless piece of ground. Okay.
No, and then there's a grade change there, too.
Right.
So that was a challenge. I think we could have made
so
that
I do recall a conversation about flow of traffic and that, so I understand why we're not doing that. But what I don't understand is why we didn't incorporate some sort of access for the see right there, there's a access for the drive, for the sidewalk into the business. You know, if you have people walking over here and a case, I don't know what it is right now, but as time allows, the county does have the bus route come through here. They have in the past. You know, there's a situation here where I can see pedestrians walking. There is no way to get from this road into your facility without basically coming into your drive aisle in the way of traffic. If you can go back to the site plan, Regula?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Martinez?
Yeah.
So right here, there's... You know what, I would love to have something over here that, you know, people could walk into the facility. But if not, at least something off the front so that you're not required as a pedestrian to actually have to walk into the drive aisle to get in. I don't see any sort of connection.
Well, we have the sidewalk from the front door straight up to the sidewalk.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was one request I was at.
All right, my apologies. I remember discussing this. Okay, gotcha. Apologies. That's good. All right.
Anybody else? Commissioner Haley?
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a bunch of thoughts on this. I'm in agreement with staff on this one. I thought I made pretty clear my concerns last time about safety, but I can't support all the six requested waivers as they're written. I'll make that simple. I think that the site plan can be fixed. It's not our job to do that, but what we're creating here by this, leaving those six parking spaces out front that, you know, signs or no signs, people are going to use, you're creating a huge hazard. The applicants are concerned about the safety of putting in a bench. This is more about human safety. Those vehicles are going to pull up in there. This is going to be a quagmire every morning and every afternoon. There's simple solutions. I'm not going to design it for you, but you don't have to drop people off at the front door. They could easily be dropped off at the southwest corner of the building from the west parking lot. The dumpster can be moved around the back of the building. They should revisit this site plan with the intention of making it safe. This moves cars around, but this doesn't make pedestrians safe, and we're talking about children, first through one through four. And it's not about a little bit of inconvenience and what's going to happen. You control the site by letting vehicles go where they can go legally, safely. This front is just going to be a mess. You've got handicapped spot, you've got people parking in, pulling out, then you've got them pulling up along the side and sending their kids off. It's just not, it's going to be a quagmire, and I don't want to go on and on about it. To quite put it simply, I'm with staff on this. I would recommend denial. I certainly can't approve. We could go through one by one and talk about the individual waivers. I think they need to come back with a site plan that actually works. Everybody's had comments about what could be a little bit better, but this is all designed for convenience. The truck that comes to pick up the dumpster doesn't need to be able to back straight in. There's no reason that if you redesign that whole western parking area to function as a drop-off and a parking and a service entrance, it can all work. This is stemming from a desire to make this building function like a strip mall. I can't support that enough.
Pull it closer.
Okay. With the drop-off conversation, just to make sure we're all clear, the parents do not come to that front, open their car, and drop off the children. The teachers do not come out to the vehicles to pick up the children. They park, they grab their children, and then bring them inside. So that flow is how that happens. So just to make sure we're all clear on that.
I'm not sure you heard that, Commissioner Haley. Did you hear that answer?
Negative. It was broken up.
Just to be clear on how drop-off and pick-up happens, the parents do not go to that designated area and park and open the vehicle, and a teacher comes and picks up the child. That is more just a designation as part of the site plan layout.
I'm not understanding this. He's breaking up badly.
Ooh, I got two now. So process, just want to make sure everybody is clear. The drop-off and pick-up area, the parents, when they come into the facility, they don't park there and open up the vehicle, and the teachers pick up the children from the vehicle and bring them inside. The process for drop-off is they park the vehicle, the parent gets out of the vehicle and escorts their children into the facility. The teachers are in the facility. So the drop-off and pick-up concern is not going to happen as part of drop-off pickup.
I'm clearly seeing six spaces of pavement that were originally labeled as queuing for drop-off and pickup. They're still there. They're going to get used.
Commissioner Leo. Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Burkhardt.
I thought
you were waiting for him to.
I think what Commissioner Haley may not have seen is the information that we were passed tonight regarding the procedures for the drop-off and pick-up, as the applicant's suggesting, that there is no letting the children out of the vehicle to go. I understand the concern about those queuing spots there, but from what I'm seeing, there's no time that there's going to be a child on their own unless you have a neglectful parent who's allowed the child to be on their own. The concern is safety around the building here. I think they've done what they can to mitigate that issue. I don't see outside of parental responsibility any responsibility of the applicant to redesign what we already see here. There's a pretty clear delineation of what they need to do to drop their kids off and pick their kids up. I've worked in, or not worked in, but dropped and picked off and up in facilities like this that operate in a very similar manner. I don't see what the concern is there. So I don't know if we want to read this out loud to Commissioner Haley so we can have an understanding of what we've seen here that might alleviate some of those issues, but
yeah, you should,
that'd
do that.
Be a suggestion.
Go ahead.
So Commissioner Haley, what we've been given here is the discovery days and kids connection child care drop off and pickup procedure. Bullet point one, parents are required to park their cars in a parking spot. Bullet point two, parents must shut the vehicle off both during pickup and drop off. Point three, parents must walk their child into the secure building. Four, parents must sign the children into their classrooms with the acknowledgement of the teacher in their classroom. And five, parents are not allowed to park quickly in non-designated areas and run in to get their children. So to me, that kind of alleviates the concerns that I've heard here. I was in agreement with you on the first go-around. I think we understand better now, or I certainly understand better now the procedure, and I don't have the same concerns anymore.
If I may, Mayor?
Go ahead.
I appreciate comments on that. That's very helpful. One, what I can first say is that's a policy, and enforcement is always another issue. How do you make that work in the day-to-day life? But if that is, in fact, the case, then I would suggest that the site plan be modified to eliminate those six spaces of queuing, increase the landscape space there. There's no need to have that as pavement. If you put it there, it will cause problems. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that any parent is going to let their child walk across this space unattended, but the parent and the child are both in jeopardy. You've got vehicles pulling in, backing up constantly, every couple of minutes. And when you can simply preclude that, I appreciate policies that say, do this, don't do that. In practicality, we're looking at protecting the public health, welfare, and safety. And what's happening out front is asking for trouble, adults or children. So if everybody's convinced that this can be made to work, then I would just suggest that they modify the site plan to eliminate that additional pavement, pick up that 10 feet by 120, whatever it is, call it green space. But when you pave it, it will get used. I've been doing this for 35 years. It will get used. So nobody will ever let a child just run willy-nilly across the parking lot. But the parents and the children will both have to dodge vehicles pulling in and backing up. So preclude the possibility of that. As far as bike amenities, benches, that's a given. That should be there. And that's something they could do with this additional green space that they'd pick up by eliminating that pavement. I'll say no more.
Commissioner Haley, help me. I've been looking at these drawings. I don't see the spaces that you're talking about labeled, at least on my drawings.
If you look at C2.0 of the site plan, you look in front, you see the entrance and the exit to the street. There's a hatched out area. They've shown the new sidewalk, which I commend them on because that's what we asked for from the building door.
Yep.
Those spaces right there are paved. And they were originally, on the previous submission, they were labeled as queuing areas for pickup and drop-off. Now all they did was remove the label, and the space is still there.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. Frankly, I don't think that's an unreasonable request. If you expanded that particular island, you got room for a bench. Facing, of course,
and a bike rack,
facing
and a bike rack
the building, and a bike rack. Mr. Alderman Dandreth,
were you counting those spots as in your in your number of parking spots?
No.
Okay. So you're hearing comments.
We're agreeable to it.
You're agreeable to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then...
Before you do that,
I'm not going to make the motion yet, but at least we heard that they're agreeable to a possible solution of removing those spots over there.
I'd suggest if anybody's got a strong opinion, I'd just suggest 3/4 of that area, not the whole thing. You got to keep leaving an area for people to, like me, who can't back up effectively.
And then I had one other comment.
Alderman Denner, you have the floor. I'm sorry.
You still have, you've got these crosshatched area by the handicap. Is that going to be crosshatched all the way, that sidewalk all the way in? Is that going to be? And then are you going to have stop signs there that are going to denote as traffic comes in that they're going to have to look for? It's a stop sign. It's similar to ones that are in... at the grocery stores or in the strip centers. Okay. At least it heeds a little attention.
Sure. The different sizes have to do with the ADA requirements, and then the shorter width is the sidewalk. So it's just designating the sidewalk versus the ADA handicap drop off.
Right. But I think you should make some. Something better now, and sure. Especially if you've got that lead-in sidewalk from the sidewalk coming from Rawson, highlight it. Sure. It's going to grab someone's attention. Not that it's going to, we don't want to see any problems, but the document that you gave us for pickup and drop-off, is this going to be something that your new participants are actually going to sign as an understanding of procedures?
Sure, I can address that. So I'm Tina Krausel, address 102 North Water Street, unit 503, Milwaukee. I'm actually the owner of Discovery Days and Kids Connection Child Cares. So this is actually our sixth location. We've been in business since 2000. All of our centers are set up this exact same way. We have one in Franklin already in the industrial park that has actually parking on the front of the building and right behind it. So we have never once had a safety issue. Parents are very responsible. Everybody that's bringing their kids to childcare want their kids to be safe. They actually do follow the rules. They park in the right spot. They bring their kids in. They sign them in. It's very safe. We have never had one incident in one of our parking lots in 20 years. So I feel very confident with the design. Anderson Ashton just built a building for us a year and a half ago in Muckwanago, almost the exact same building. It's licensed for 150 children. They're there every day. We've never had an incident. It works wonderfully. So we don't have parents sign the procedure, but it is in our parent handbook. It's gone over with them at tours. It's never been a problem. It's always been really clear. That's why I laid it out for you, so that you would a little bit more understand, you know, what we do, and, you know, we do take safety very seriously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the industry we're in. So I don't have a problem with, you know, taking out those queuing spots. It wasn't something that we needed anyways. We don't ever have queuing. Parents never, there's not a line of cars. Like I said, we have a center with 150 children. There's plenty of parking. People come in shifts. Not everybody comes at the same time. So drop-off is usually 6 to 9 in the morning, 3 to 5, 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And they come at all different times. So even the likelihood that all of those front spots are full at one time would be unlikely.
Okay. And then material on the front of the building. I know we had talked about that. I'm not going through all of this, but you've got, a hardy plank material, and do you have a brick ledge on the bottom? Is that what you're portraying on here?
Correct.
To bring it up?
And shakes. This will break up with different material types.
Okay. Okay, and that's a dimensional shingle on the roof?
Yes.
Okay. And natural. Okay. No, at least you upgraded it from what it was previously.
Thank you.
So. Okay, thank you.
Actually, to be just really honest, we preferred the three-story hotel. So Commissioner Leon.
So to go to your comments about people coming across a three-hour span, I mean, so I've not only dropped off and picked up kids, but I've passed by daycares, and there is certainly a time when it does fill up. You know, call it 7 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, when a lot does fill up and there are a lot of people pulling in and pulling out, and then the same thing around 5 o'clock. I don't think I know of any daycare with a drop-off where there aren't two times of day where there's backing up and a lot of full stalls. So while I get that the full 150 wouldn't be dropped off all at the same time, there are certainly points where 50% or higher are being dropped off, peak times for both drop-off and pick-up. So, you know, the parking lot concerns I'm a lot less concerned with, and you seem to have addressed. Again, I go to the traffic on Rawson Avenue and the potential for accidents or near accidents, given the speeds of the travel on the road and the conditions there. I don't know if you want to address any of those concerns or not.
Well, one thing just, I guess, to talk about with, we've completed the traffic study. We've went through the design of it. The controlled intersection is right next door as well. So as part of speed limit concerns, you'll have that breakup, but also working with design with the county and having that additional work in the median just to make sure it's safe and you're not having people turn right to do U-turns to go back eastbound. So we try to do everything possible, keep it as safe as possible, and figured if we were going to be steered one direction, the county and through the traffic study, that would surface very quickly.
I will tell you that we do things fast in Franklin, especially fast on Rawson, especially fast right there. I get complaints all the time. So if this gets approved, be really careful and instruct your parents. Cause
hope the high school kids don't drive over there.
Yeah. There's potentially, six total motions, I believe?
Yes, there is. Okay. Should we, are we ready to progress? Here's a motion to waive a required standards under 15-3.0353B as in boy, pertaining to site furnishings. I believe we had some comments in regards to adding a bike rack and a bench.
Well, the request is to waive the requirement. So if we want them to do bike racks and benches, the answer is no. So the vote is no. So okay. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second to that motion, or can I do a lack of second?
I'm sorry, can you clarify? If we want the bench, we say no on this vote?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because what the motion says is to grant the waiver. So if you don't want to grant the waiver, you vote no. So, Mr. City Attorney.
If you want a bench, and one of the requirements is a bench, but the other requirements,
just take
the commission is ready to be okay, is okay with a waiver, why don't you just make the motion as proposed to waive the requirements, accept the requirement for the bench?
You're absolutely right. The only problem with that is we don't know who wants what.
Wait, could I ask you a question?
You got the floor, Owner.
Mr. Martinez, can you tell, we've got so many papers here. In regard, what are the items that are required that are in this consideration for this motion?
Or said differently, what are the requirements that are not being met?
Yes.
Yeah, the UDO required the benches, the trash receptacles, and the bicycle parking or bike racks.
Well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove that motion. Because
there was no second.
Was
so no the motion second. Dies due to lack of second. Okay.
Because we're going to leave that there. Okay. Second one.
May,
This the second one talks about interior landscaping.
Wait a minute, Commissioner Leo.
Before we get out of the way, I don't have any issues with the waiver. I have an issue with the project as a whole, so I don't want to vote against each waiver. So are we going to go through these and then go for the total project? So I can vote nay on that and still go with the commission on the waivers.
There is an overall motion.
Yes, yeah. And if the waivers do require 5 votes.
Right. Okay.
Jesse, may I also suggest that if they've actually requested an actual waiver, shouldn't we at least have some kind of a vote on it?
I'm not understanding you.
So
it's
I mean,
mask thing.
Yeah.
in the case of section of the one we just had, the first motion that was then retracted, shouldn't they at least have some kind of a motion, even if the motion is denial, to at least have a vote on the record, since the applicant put in the effort to request a waiver for that section? Should we at least have a vote on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So I'll put the...
So you can make your motion.
So we'll make the motion to waive the...
You can make it to deny the waiver.
Okay. So I'm going to make a motion to deny the waiver regarding standards under 15-3.0353B pertaining to site furnishings.
Deny the waiver.
So this is a yes.
Yes.
Okay, second, so is there a second to that?
Second to ensure we're denying waiver.
This is denying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to be clear, this is not allowing them to delete benches, trash receptacles, and bike rack. Or said differently, said positively, this is to continue to require a bike rack, trash receptacles, and a bench.
Okay.
So yes means you got to do it. Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, and no abstentions. Alderman Dandridge.
Okay. Now, they were looking to waive the requirement for interior landscaping for off-street parking areas. Is that a pertinent request now?
Regular. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm.
Even if they continue, even if they take up the hatched area.
Well, yeah, that is a good point. Yeah.
I was going to bring that up. Oh. Thanks, Glenn.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you
want to make sure that you guys understand what we're approving, because...
So the issue right now is what's the square footage, and does that kick the requirement in?
It is still required because it's not about the overall landscape. It's about the parking island size. So,
so it's not a parking island size. It's just the front.
It's the distribution of the parking islands.
Right. Okay. Like, for example, this one with the red arrow is less than the minimum requirement.
Okay, so we need this motion. A motion to waive the requirement standards under 15-3.0354C.1 pertaining to interior landscaping for off-street parking areas.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, so let's be clear. How far out of compliance are they?
Our minimum requirement is 250, and this is 220, that island.
So we're 10% off.
Yeah.
And so...
So the question then becomes is, if this is an island, why can't this be an island? Commissioner Haley, I'm pointing to the easterly...
I understand.
Okay.
I understand what you're doing.
Okay.
Eliminate the queuing area and call it a landscape space.
Exactly.
All right.
That's fine. I was going to say the center one's 300 square feet. So
now, the staff is going to tell me that's okay, or you're out of your mind.
No, the problem is not the overall.
It's the size.
It's the size of the item.
One of these.
Right. Correct.
Well, with the deletion of this, could make that, you're 10% under, you could make that 5 more feet out, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we're trying to do, functionality versus sex, I'd rather, you know, with what we're talking about with staff, with changing the species and trying to improve landscaping compared to adding a few more square feet, if it's easier for flow and traffic compared to making that.
In order to make that island bigger, they'd have to come this way, which would actually slow down traffic flow going this way. It would actually make it harder for people to maneuver, because now they're having to avoid aiming at that island and going around it, and so it actually would force vehicles to actually go this way and then around.
I get it. I was just trying to find a way to not have to wave.
So,
City Engineer Morrow.
So, it, depending on how we vote on this, there's no discussion on what happens on the bottom of the page, then the hatched area. How do we address that later?
That'll be a
6th motion. Is that a 6th motion? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A suggestion from Haley.
Go ahead.
Is that we grant the waiver under the understanding that they will create additional landscape spacing out in front in the hatched area.
We can make it one motion.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Let me go ahead and then I'll add to it.
Okay. I think I already made the motion. We were in discussion.
Yeah, that's correct. However,
but we'll add.
Mr. Burkhardt seconded. And Commissioner Burkhardt seconded that motion.
Okay. So the request is to add to the motion, subject to deletion of the queuing area and conversion to landscape area, converting that area to landscape area.
Yes, I will accept that amendment.
Commissioner Burkhardt.
You bet.
Does that work, Jesse? Clear with that? Everybody clear? Okay. All right, on the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Kevin?
I'm good. I mean, aye unless I'm told otherwise.
So you're, okay.
Aye.
Well,
aye.
We need 5 votes, so, you know. Okay, thank
you. You got mine.
Okay, we'll go back to, unless we hear from you, it's an aye. So the vote is 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Alderman D'Andrea.
Then a motion to waive the requirement or the required standards under 15-3.0355A.1 pertaining to building character and design.
Right.
We're accepting it as presented.
Right.
The exterior.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Discussion on that motion. So everybody's clear, it's the building we're being presented, not the dreams of the 27th Street Steering Committee in 2005.
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Then we assume Alderman Haley is an aye. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Alderman D'Andrea.
Then a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0355B.8.D as in dog, pertaining to pedestrian accessibility.
That is the corner entrance.
Okay, and we know that we can't functionally make that.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, assuming Haley's an aye?
Okay.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, no abstentions. Alderman D'Andrea.
Then a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0355B as in boy .10.C pertaining to external storage.
So specifically the dumpster. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Assuming Haley's an aye.
Okay.
Okay, motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no abstentions. Alderman D'Andrea.
Hang on, there's a hand over here.
Commissioner Leone.
So I think we're through all the waivers now, right?
Right.
Okay,
yes.
So if there's no objection, I would like to propose a denial of the project, and if it dies on the vine, it dies on the vine, but I'd like to make the motion to deny the application.
Is there a second to that motion? Is there a second to that motion? Seeing no second, the motion dies due to lack of second. No, because we...
No.
Remember?
All right. Okay.
But good catch.
Then we're on to the site plan.
Alderman Dandrea.
A motion to adopt a resolution approving a site plan for the construction of a daycare building, playground, parking lot, driveways, and stormwater basin with associated landscaping, fencing, and lighting, parentheses 3030-3130 West Rawson Avenue.
Is there a second?
Second.
You couldn't not second the last one and then not second this one.
That's right. You got them on pins and needles.
Questions on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Mr. Eddie, please call the roll.
Mayor, no, Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Burkhart?
Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
We need you to answer this one, Kevin. Are you out feeding the chicks?
He's not. Oh, there he is. Commissioner Haley?
You can come back to him.
This is on the site approval, and we're looking for an aye or nay on a roll call vote. Commissioner Haley.
Let me come back.
I'm sorry. I lost my connection. I had to dial back in. What's the motion on the floor?
To approve the, to deny the site plan.
No, approve. No. Approve. No. Approve the site plan.
I'm sorry.
To approve the site plan.
I'm sorry.
Based on
so there was a one nay vote, Commissioner Haley, so we're doing a roll call. So this is to approve the development.
Nay.
Okay.
Engineer Morrow?
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea?
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Leon?
Nay, for my reasons stated about the traffic.
So that means
four.
The...
Four.
That works out. Four. The motion carries. Four ayes, two noes, no absent, no abstentions. And I don't know why I have such a difficult time looking at four lines and two lines and counting six. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Oh, now you answer.
Don't throw that one. No.